Dashboard Effect Podcast. I'm Rick Thompson.
I'm Caleb Oakes.
Hey, Caleb.
Hey.
Didn't you have something you wanted to say?
Something about the resources on our website that you should go check out. There's a lot of good stuff.
Exactly.
Blogs, white papers, downloads. You can see our pictures.
Yeah.
You know, we're on there.
All right.
You can find out what our hobbies are.
Yeah.
No, just check it out.
Okay. Katie, our marketing manager, appreciates that.
There you go.
All right. So what are we talking about in this episode?
Different ways that you can show value or like a return on your investment with the data, the investment you put into data.
All right.
Data initiative or project or whatever it may
be. Right. So you're going to spend money either with outside resources or hiring staff. Mm-hmm. You got software costs. You got platform costs. You need to make sure, well, actually, you probably don't go into it unless you have an idea about how you're going to derive value from that. But how do you actually show that value?
Yeah, right. It's a good question. And actually, I mean, from our experience, I'm not so sure that people actually do go into it thinking like, oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
This is it. They might have typically what we see, right, is somebody, it's like, I have this specific problem that I think this is the solution for. So, but that's really as far as it goes. It's not like, all right, but if I solve that, then I get
this bigger. Yeah.
It's like there's some value type. They don't go that far, right?
That's interesting. Yeah. But in some cases.
Yeah. In some cases. But I think, today maybe we can talk about some of the ways that we would do it and some of the common ways and maybe some interesting ways to think about finding that value or kind of connecting the dots there, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, one of the obvious ones is just saving in labor time. Mm-hmm. So when you automate a data pipeline to pull data out of a transactional system and put it into a data lake so it's accessible to report writers or analysts, you can pretty easily calculate what is that saving me in terms of labor costs. Mm-hmm. I remember a client you and I went to years ago, our first meeting on site, we were interviewing their team. It was a pretty big team. We probably interviewed 15, 20 people. As I recall, they had 13 Excel analysts whose jobs it was to run SQL queries, get CSVs, load data into Excel, munge it so it fit into whatever reports they were using or producing on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. It was very much like, I mean, it wasn't quite the equivalent of working on an assembly line, putting caps on a toothpaste tube, but almost.
Yeah.
And that's expensive. Mm-hmm. And it's error prone and it's boring.
Yeah.
And so, but if you're looking for value just in dollars and cents, you can just look at the time there. If it's once you've built that and you have that automated system running, I mean, it's not quite free, but almost.
Yeah.
And right. You don't have labor costs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a kind of a low hanging fruit one that you can kind of calculate pretty quick. It's interesting though. Sometimes people don't like that one because then they're like, well, what do those people do then? Like, do I have to fire somebody? And nobody likes to do that. But it's, that's just the truth.
Yeah.
So
I think that's right.
And it's better. It's better for you anyway.
Well, and, hopefully you don't have to fire people, but I mean, if you do, yeah, if you're a commercial enterprise, okay. But likely there's other work. There's probably more demand for analyst work and reporting and so on than the company's able to do. Now you can take that sort of rote type of repetitive work, offload that to an automated system and have this analyst doing stuff that's a lot higher value.
Yeah, actually analyze stuff.
Right.
I used to be that person. That was kind of a joke that we made a lot. Like our little community of analysts inside this giant company. We were like, that's my title, but all I do is go to SAP, I download a file, and then I put it into a pivot table and I send it to a bunch of people. It's like, I'm not looking at the data at all. Like, I have no idea what's going on. So
there's a Dilbert comic in there somewhere.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah. So, you get a chance to upskill, right?
Yeah.
I remember when we rolled out Click at that job, I used the scripting engine in Click and I basically automated a lot of stuff. I still had to go download the data from SAP, but then my script did all the munching of it and putting it together and getting it into a good format to send. And it took about an hour, what normally took me like all morning. And then, I got to do other things.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. So along the same lines is if you can automate through good reporting and access to the data, make decision-making easier and faster so that, decision-makers, managers, or whoever, are able to just quickly see, all right, there's the answer that before I would have had to go search for, find the spreadsheet, ask the analyst to update the spreadsheet, do some of my own calculations, get to my answer. If you design the reports well, you should be able to get them to a point where that's almost automated, where they're looking at it, trying to figure out, I don't know what the right example is, but who do I need to call today about subpar performance? Boom, it's just right there. Mm-hmm. That type of thing.
Yep. Yeah. Another time saver, right?
And that's even more expensive labor.
Yeah. I mean, another one that comes to mind for me is doing something that you couldn't do before, right? Like a new analysis or a new way of looking at your data that you just wasn't possible before, right?
Maybe because you had a couple of data sources that were in silos. Mm-hmm. They didn't have relationships between them. Now you do have that.
Yeah.
Now you can get some analysis. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I like that. That's good.
That's an easy one. That's not easy, but you know,
but you get benefit quickly. There, yeah. Right. But maybe attaching a number to that is not as easy. I'll tell you.
That's true. Right.
I mean, I can think of one example of attaching a number. One of my favorites was a company that had a goal of increasing utilization in some of their employees, how much of the employees' time was billable to clients. Mm-hmm. And they figured out, I can't remember the exact numbers, so I'm going to make them up, but figured out that for each percentage point increase in utilization, so go from 60% to 61%, that would get you $1 million to the bottom line, making the numbers up. But it was really significant. Mm-hmm. And I remember they had this idea that that would be the case. They had done the work. They worked with us to get the data gathered, modeled, did reports so that managers could then manage utilization better. And in fact, they did move the needle. And I think the savings were something like $4 million to the bottom line for a project that cost a tiny fraction of that. And that project just needed to be done that once. It was going to keep delivering that ROI. Mm-hmm. So love that one because you can see the value really quickly there.
And I think what they did that was so important there and that I wish more people would do was they spent the time to say, okay, if we can increase utilization by 1%, this is what it means to our bottom line. Like that is like so valuable of an exercise. Cause if they found like, oh, it doesn't actually do anything, then don't do the project then. Right. But you know, especially in that case, it's like, it's a big deal. So it was a no brainer to go ahead and do this thing.
Yeah.
You know, it just gives you, makes that decision easier.
And yeah.
You make a better decision if you have that.
Do you think there's cases? Just occurred to me that there's cases where giving easy access to lots of data and reporting and whatever reports you want could lead to inefficiency because you're chasing stuff that doesn't matter. As you were saying that, it made me think, yeah, I guess maybe there is some risk there.
Definitely. Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that just having a bunch of reports is not good. Mm-hmm. Like that doesn't by default mean that you're doing great at data and BI and analytics, right?
Yeah.
Because it can actually cause more harm than good if you've got stuff that it doesn't matter or there's not focusing on this little area that maybe doesn't look as good as it did last week may not actually have a return of you actually focusing on it, right?
Yeah, you're scratching an itch, but
might be better to focus somewhere else, right?
Yeah.
I think that's really important. I don't think that's talked about enough.
Yeah, that's interesting. It makes me think of, I think we are going to do an episode on how to keep reports simple for that very same reason. It's tempting to throw everything in the kitchen sink into a report because of the cool visualizations and your access to data that you never had. But you can actually start not just getting diminishing returns, but actually working against yourself on that.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Right. It's a whole power of simplicity type thing.
Yeah. Yeah. What other ways could you show ROI?
Accuracy, you know, I think it's still a hard one to kind of go back to a dollar value. Cause at that point, like if you're saying, all right, now we have accurate data and we didn't before, you really have to calculate the cost of making the wrong decision, right? Like if this was wrong and if we made the wrong decision, then that cost us X. That's kind of difficult to get to. At least that's the only way I can think of really tying that one back. I guess the simpler ones we've covered and it gets kind of more and more complex, but I think the dollar amounts get greater and greater, the more and more complicated that the calculation really becomes, right?
Yeah. I was thinking of just the dashboard effect of, you know, giving people their numbers, telling them what the score is in the game that they're playing at work. And how that can impact performance. People want to do a good job. You tell them what the score is, what the goal is. They'll often you know, move the needle towards that. Mm-hmm. In order to show the ROI there, you would have had to measure it before mm-hmm. you put the scoreboard up and then measure it after. But you could certainly do that. We've seen that yeah. over and over and over. Sometimes you don't really even need to measure the dollars exactly because it's so obviously overwhelmingly valuable. But that's another big one.
Yeah, actually, that's a really good point. It's just where were we at before we did this, and now where are we at after we did this? And you can, I think, most of the time you can attribute a decent some portion of it, you know, because there's so many things that are going on in your business.
Sure,
like you may increase your utilization by 5%, but maybe just hired much better techs, or you laid off training, or got rid of all the really bad ones, or better training, or whatever, right? It's a bunch of things that could have affected that. But, you know, I think there's always a piece of that that should be attributed to data.
I remember a decade ago in this business, maybe not quite that much, but many years ago, when there were very few of us in a smaller building, and we were focusing on our engineers' utilization on projects, and we built a scoreboard, and there were a lot of people that had yellows and even some reds on it, one or two greens. And people looked at that. Some people didn't like that, actually, mm-hmm. or at least expressed they didn't. There's one person in particular I can think of who expressed not liking it and then very immediately went to like number one or two on yeah, the board. Right. But we saw that shift from yellow to green quickly. And I think it was, I mean, there was other stuff we were doing, we were focusing on it, but I think giving people the score allows them the autonomy to make those corrections.
So. Yeah, right. Exactly.
All right. What else?
I don't know. You got anything else?
I don't think so. I mean, I can keep thinking of use cases, but I think those are the general ones. I guess I would end by saying, you know, if you really want to show ROI by numbers, you need to measure before and after. And very often, I think because it seems so obvious to people that this is going to be valuable, they don't really bother to measure before. Or it seems hard to measure it before because they don't have the data now. Right. I think even making assumptions about it and just take your best guess, rough guess, mm-hmm. how is it, and then look at it afterwards. That'll help you to be able to show that, yes, it was a good investment, good ROI.
Yeah, exactly. It helps you in a lot of ways, right? Yeah. It helps you kind of stick with it too, yeah. right? Because you've got a goal in mind more than just, I want a new report.
Right. All right.
All right.
Good talk. Thanks, Caleb.